Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Ready to get back in our Father's Word, Book of Micah. Micah in the Hebrew tongue is one of the only titles that is a question. And that question being interpreted is, who is like Yahweh? The answer, no one. Our Father is unique, and He's it. He is the creator of all things. And the first three chapters of Micah were threatenings to those that didn't get their act together, exactly what would happen to them. But then we come to chapter 4, and it's kind of consolation or restoration in a sense. It's talking about the last days. And as a matter of fact, verse 1 of chapter 4 starts out, "But in the last days it shall come to pass," letting us know exactly how it's going down. And our Father is always true to His Word. And when you follow Him, we completed with the fifth verse of that fourth chapter. I want to cover it. You won't have it, and then we'll start with the sixth. But listen to it anyway. "For all people will walk every one in the name of his God," lowercase. "And we will walk in the name of the Lord our God." That's Yahweh forever and ever. In other words, there's a separation there. And that separation is of those who believe and those who do not. If you worship a God other than Almighty God, in as much as He is the only God, your God's not going to help you because He doesn't exist. So you want to make sure that you're wired in to the right Father, or you probably would end up in a heap of hurt. Consider continuing, and when is forever and ever? That's when Messiah returns. And we look forward to that time. That is the last days. Now, verse 6, and it reads, "In that day," well, what day is that? Well, it just told you, in the last days, in the day Messiah returns. "In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted." Whoa, you mean God would afflict someone? You bet He would, for their own benefit. "For as it is written in Romans chapter 11, verses 1 through 4 and 6, he says, some I have sent the spirit of stupor upon," slumber in the English. Okay, but that stupor is that they're not going to have eyes to see or ears to hear, which would make them accountable. Therefore, they slide on through into the millennium, and on the day that Christ returns, he'll help them. He'll make it right. He'll give them an opportunity to learn. Those of you that are deeper students, what it's talking about is to prevent some from that would be weak from committing the unpardonable sin. Okay, but all those that are scattered, I'm going to bring them back together. They've done my work, and I'm going to use them. Okay, verse 7, "And I will make her that halteth a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth for ever and ever." What is the strongest nation in the world today? I mean, that's where you would want to look if you wanted to follow this. Did he or didn't he? And naturally, the strongest nation in the world today is the United States of America. It just so happens that that's where a large majority of those 10 tribes, the House of Israel, that went north over the Caucasus, were called Caucasians, settled Europe, migrating to Canada and America. And he did make that remnant a strong nation. Many of them don't know who they are, but God didn't lose them. God knows exactly who they are. Okay? Now, you're going to have to sharpen up for me, because there's a lot in the next verse. Okay? We'll pull it out. Verse 8, listen carefully. "And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion, the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem." Now, the stronghold, of course, the tower and the stronghold is Ophel. And Ophel is the tower that guards and protects the east gate as it looks over to the Mount of Olives. But what's real important is the translation of the word flock. For the word is eder in the Hebrew tongue. Well, what does that mean? Well, you would have to take into consideration Genesis 35, verses 19 through 21. It's about 1,000 paces from Bethlehem. So it is Bethlehem. Bethlehem being that place where the last of the 12 tribes were born, and the mother died giving birth, that is to say Rachel, and she named the boy Beni, which is to say son of my sorrow. But his father renamed him Benjamin, which is to say son of my right hand. But here in this same place, Bethlehem, we have the birth, the death of the mother and the birth of the last of the 12 tribes, but also the birth of Messiah from Mary, who would be this leader, this Messiah that would come in the end times. That's a lot tucked into one little verse for those that are wise enough to understand the direction that God takes us. We know exactly where to look to see these prophecies come to pass. And as we would read that Rachel there at Bethlehem would weep for her children, but she need not, for our Father is much in control, and so it is. But here you have the first dominion coming into the beginning, if you would, of that kingdom. And the king and his dominion is what we look forward to. Verse 9 to continue. My friends, what you just covered is the key of David. Okay. If you have the key of David, it opens many doors that a lot of people can't find. It can lock doors against those that are not supposed to know. But having that key of David is a beautiful thing. Again, I'm going to give you the scripture, Genesis 35, 19 through 21. And of course, there, the very birthplace of Benjamin, the last of the 12 tribes. Verse 9, and it continues. Now, why dost thou cry out aloud? Question. Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? Or don't you have any wise people among you? For pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail. It is amazing that this would be linked with that birth and the labor that would destroy, that would bring Rachel to return to the father. And here we have the birth pains of a new age. And people can't even tell it. We have this new dominion that's about to begin. And the labor pains are growing closer and closer and closer, whereby father will lead us into that. Now, you bet we have a king. And if you understand the last verse, you know who that king is. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's only one. And that is to say, Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, the Christ. Verse 10. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon. There shalt thou be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. And naturally, where is Babylon? Well, it's Iraq today. That you're going to go there. Things are going to happen there. You're going to defeat your enemy there. And there you're going to find deliverance. You're going to find truth. Truth of the word as it is woven together over the years of history. If you look in that same area, you even find Ur, the city from which Abraham had his beginnings. How fascinating it is. And we see within this that redeeming the land from our enemies, the two witnesses, the witness that is truth, that truth that we use as a sword in these end times. Verse 11. Now also many nations are gathered against thee. they say that say, let her be defiled, and let our eye look upon Zion. Let's destroy her. Verse 12. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord. They leave him out of the equation. Neither understand they his counsel. That's to say, God's plan. We're reading it, okay? For he shall gather them as the sheaves into the floor. He's going, well, who's this talking about? The enemy. Well, what floor are we talking about? Threshing floor. The Lord intends to do a little thrashing. And it goes all the way back to the fifth verse, the reason I read it. Some are going to follow their God, G-O-D, small case, not ours, but we shall follow Yahweh Elohim, the Lord of lords and King of kings forever and ever. No give, no take. And that thrashing separates the grain, that not one little grain will fall that loves Almighty God. Verse 13, but how does he forewarn and arm his children? Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thine horn iron, and I will make thine hooves brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. What do you thrash with? That's what's important, beloved. What is this threshing, or this instrument of threshing that makes our horn? That means always strength, your power. Okay. And naturally, our power is in Almighty God. All of our strength comes from God. But the weapon that we use is truth. And we shower the entire earth with that truth of God's word, that he is in control. And that sword of the Lord, which we read of, which is truth, well, what is it? Well, read Revelation chapter 1, verse 16. Well, what do you read in Revelation chapter 1, 16? Christ's tongue is a two-edged sword. It is the truth, and it cuts both ways. That's what we thrash with. That's what the entire fifth seal is about, is taking that truth, that threshing instrument, which is truth, and spreading it to the world, whereby people are forewarned about that that is to come, which is to say the false Christ. And how important it is that God foretells us. If you ever had any doubt who God is with, you want to remember this fourth chapter. For he is with us forever and ever. When you follow him, when you pay heed to his word, and when you bring him into the equation of your life, that is to say your plans, your thoughts, your studies, and you always bring his word in, because it isn't my word or your word as to how it's going to be. It's going to be according to the word of God. So if you want to always be right in what is truth, this word, you take that word and you teach it, you share it, you experience it. We might say then, meanwhile, chapter 5, now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. That is to say the enemy has, okay? They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. And so it is. Down through the time, it will happen. The false Christ will appear first, and he'll have a go at it. But God just told us what we're to thrash with. And when you listen to that word, you know exactly how it's going to be. Why? Because the next few verses let you know why we have the victory. Verse 2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah. Bethlehem, of course, is the house of bread, and Christ's body is the bread of life. And what about Ephratah? It's fruitful. And it's always fruitful for you to go there for truth, for knowledge. Though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And so it is that this is Emmanuel, which is to say God with us. He has been for everlasting because he is the Creator. And those of you that can understand that can better understand the very first verse of the great gospel, St. John, which said, in the beginning was the Logos, which is to say, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the polysyndeton of chapter 1, the great book of Genesis, every time the word "and" is used at the beginning of each verse, it says a lot more. It says, and the Spirit, the Ruach of Almighty God, moved and brought these things. He was always there. Okay. And though he is born of that virgin, he came forth as Melchizedek as well. What is Melchizedek? King of justice, king of righteousness. There's only one. You don't get three guesses. There's only one. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he lets us know exactly here where that Messiah comes from. And that he has been for everlasting. And I'm not going to add to that, but I will say this, and forevermore. Verse 3. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth, then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. And so it is. Return where? Out of Babylon. Well, what is Babylon? Confusion. There is a great danger at this time for people being deceived. Deception is destroyed and trampled when truth comes forth. That truth must be taught that dispels that destruction of Babel, which is to say nonsense. There's a lot of nonsense in the world today. And unfortunately, many people do not know when they're listening to nonsense and when they're listening to the Word of God, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. It seems pretty simple, doesn't it? Yet many people have great difficulty with it. Verse 4. And he, well, who is this he? It's Christ. And Christ shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. Time begins to change, and that birth of a new age, that new dominion comes into being. We're getting there, my friends. It's much closer than many might think. The labor pains are certainly growing closer and closer. 5. And this man shall be the peace when the Assyrian, that's one of the names of Antichrist, okay, when the Antichrist shall come into our land, and when he shall tread in our palaces, then shall we rise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men, or better translated, prince of men. Who is the prince of men? It's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's God's 7,000 election and Christ himself. And 8 is new beginnings. And so new beginnings marches into the land. It's coming, friends. Do you have a destiny? Could be you have a part in this. Do you understand the truth? Father's word is always very accurate. And there's a reason we're in Iraq. There's a reason all these things come to pass as it's written. And of all times at this time, you must be awake. Why? You're a watchman. And a watchman must always watch when he's on watch, and you are. Verse 6, and they shall waste the land of Assyria with the sword. Whoa, what sword is that? The truth. And the land of Nimrod, now that's Babylon again, in the entrances thereof. Thus shall he deliver us from the Assyrian, that's to say the false Christ, when he cometh into our land and when he treadeth within our borders. He won't have a prayer of a chance. Why? Because it is written in Mark 13 how we will be delivered up, that is to say the remnant, that they're not to premeditate what they say beforehand, but to speak what God gives them in that hour. What hour is that? Hour of temptation, when the false one is trying to play little Jesus. That's not a time to be asleep, my friend. Verse 7. And the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people as a dew from the Lord, as the showers upon the grass that tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of men. In other words, that tender truth falls upon the ears that can hear, and the eyes that can see. That dew that falls from the very heaven itself, God giving those witnesses, those seven spoken of, the privilege and the opportunity of serving him and bringing that tender dew, that the most crystal clear water there is, because it's not polluted, that falls, and so is the truth that falls from him through the word of God upon the people's ears at that time to dispel those that would deceive. Satan's main tool, you must understand always, is deception. This was the first warning Christ gave us in all three of the warning books. That's to say Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. Is don't let man deceive you. For many will come in my name. Many are going to claim to be Christ. But there's only one Christ, and he's the real one. There'll be a lot claiming to be Christian preachers. But if they're not teaching the words of Christ, they're not Christian preachers. Period. Okay. Let that answer the question. But this word, well, brother, you don't understand. My church calls that the Old Testament, is past history. It is prophetic. It is the minor prophets. It is the prophecy of what happens tomorrow. If you discount God's truth, you're in a heap of hurt, friend. And you need to study God's word. Not part of it, all of it, both old and new. For there is more written about the millennium in the Old Testament than is written in the New. And if you're not educated in God's Word to know and to understand that, you could be deceived. And as I said, deception is the main tool that Satan uses. He loves it. So let that dew come from you that falls on the people of the land. That gentle truth of God's word makes common sense. Verse 8. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst, that's to say the nations, in the midst of many people, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who, if he go through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. Now, again, I would ask you, what's the weapon? Truth. And boy, listen. When somebody finds themselves bending down, worshiping the false Christ and not knowing any better, and the real truth falls upon them, that they are in bed with Satan, it's going to tear them up. The truth can do that. But they are blessed if they have eyes enough to see and ears enough to hear to come out of confusion, out of deception, and to see that truth that is the weapon of God that brings that dew of truth into their minds, the buds of the mind, whereby they see that truth and know and understand how precious it is. Verse 9, thine hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries, and all thine enemies shall be cut off. Now, I want to tell you something. We go from verses 9 through 13, the word cut off, our Father uses it five times. That's the number of grace. And he tells you here exactly what he's going to do. And, you know, it should be encouraging to you. For God always stands with his own. We thresh with the truth. Verse 9, again I will read, "Thine hand shall be lifted up against thine adversaries, and all thine enemies shall be cut off." 1. Verse 10, "And it shall come to pass in that day," what day is that? The end days, "saith the Lord, that I will cut off their horses, thy horses, out of the midst of thee. And I will destroy thy chariots." In other words, he's going to purify Israel. That is to say, true Israel, as well as the house of Judah. Verse 11, that's two times. Verse 11, "And I will cut off," that's thrice, "the cities of thy land, and throw down all thy strongholds." And any disagreement, anything that comes up, hey, you can forget it. God's going to take charge. He didn't say, "myself and a bunch of others." He said, "I will do it." Verse 12, "And I will cut off witchcraft out of thine hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers." Those sputters I was telling you about in chapter 3, 2 and 3, that claim to be preachers of God's word, but all they are is a bunch of sputters, false prophets, false teachers. I intend to cut them off. You know, judgment begins at the pulpit. I would hate to be guilty of teaching something other than God's word, chapter by chapter and verse by verse, when judgment day comes, because cut off means exactly that. And that's a pretty strong penalty. And you can better understand in this why many will run up to Jesus and say, "Oh, Jesus, we've healed in your name. We've cast out demons in your name." Do you know what Christ said to him? "Get away from me. I never knew you." They don't know the real truth. They deceive themselves with the sayings of men and the traditions of men that make void this word of God. Don't be a sputterer, or you will be cut off. That is God's word, and God's word, as it is written, so it shall come to pass. Next verse, please. Verse 13. Thy graven images also will I cut off. And there you have that last time, five times. And thy standing images out of the midst of thee, those things that you worship. And thou shalt no more worship the work of thine hands. You're going to pray to the Father. You're going to stay with the Father. But we've built this wonderful work. Did you build it, or did God? If you built it, it will not stand. If God built it, it will survive. You know, those that would worship anything that comes between them and the true word of God can turn out to be a very dangerous thing. Verse 14, "And I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee, so will I destroy thy cities." Well, what are these groves? That's where they rolled eggs of fertility that many call Ishtar eggs. You know, well, where is this Ishtar eggs written in the word? It isn't. It's in the groves. But many people are deceived. And quick like a bunny. Well, where's quick like a bunny? It's not. It's in the grove. You don't want to be deceived in this generation, my friend. Our Father doesn't like it, especially when you let that take the place of the true Passover. For as it is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, Christ became our Passover. There is no other. You want to watch grove worship. 15, "And I will execute vengeance in anger and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard. They haven't seen anything left. Not one stone on Mount Zion will be left standing to cleanse Antichrist from that place when he appears there. Well, could you simplify that for us? Yes, I could. Antichrist is coming first. Make sure you don't worship him. Many people will be deceived by him. He's known here as the Assyrian. That's what the prophetic in the last days, that's how the chapter started, telling you how it would be in the end days, and keep touching base with it when the new dominion, the birth of a new age begins. You do not want to be caught short, my friend. You do not want to listen to sputterers, as we learned in those first chapters. That's people that claim to be teachers of God's word. But have you ever noticed they never really get around to teaching chapter by chapter and verse by verse? Do you know where the difference comes in? If you just pick one verse, it's impossible to know what the subject and the object and the article is of the subject Almighty God is bringing forth by one verse. You have to start at the beginning of the subject as the explanation of God pours forth through His Word. So it is God's Word that leads us, that we build on, that gives us our strength. Make sure that you know which weapon it is we're to use in the end times. Truth. And what is truth? The Word of God. Grow skilled in it. You know, when you learn to use a weapon, you practice until you're an expert at it if you intend to put your life behind it. Well, so it is with this weapon of the end times, the truth. Get to be an expert. That is to say, grow real skilled in listening to your Father. He'll take care of the rest. You just listen to Him. He'll take care of the rest by studying that sword of the Lord, which is to say His tongue, His word, which is a two-edged sword. It cuts both ways, but always it healing. The Word of God. Always listen to your Father. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves, you got a question, you share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular reverend or denomination or organization. Let's don't judge people. Just teach God's Word as it's written and let the chips fall wherever they may. Never apologize for the Word of God. It is written. It will come to pass as it is written. Amen. So it is. So, those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. Your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Now, you got a prayer request? You don't need that number, and you don't really need an address. Why? God knows what you're thinking right now. All you have to do, you don't even have to say it out loud. You're His child. He created you different than anyone else. Your DNA is different. Your fingerprints are different. You're unique. He wanted you, someone just like you. He may not love what you're doing, but He sure does love you. get with this program and be blessed. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father, touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Excuse me. Okay, questions. Beth from Illinois. My husband and I enjoy and have learned a lot from your lessons. We were talking today about Jesus' 12 disciples. Could you please explain where or how Thaddeus fits in? Thaddeus is another word, name for Judas, okay? It's just Judas, that's all. Thaddeus and Judas, same person. Sean from Louisiana. My question is, why did God take... And this lady has lost a 15-year-old daughter 2 years ago. Why should I say allow my child to die when his word says honor thy mother and father all the days will and thy days will be long? My child's life was short-lived. Please clarify. Also, you state, and I believe you're teaching, that my child is very much alive and conscious. This is very true. Living in paradise with our Lord. Please explain the verse that states the dead know nothing. Well, you're quoting dead know nothing is from Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And what it's saying is the flesh, which is the only thing that is really dead, goes back to dirt and it knows nothing and it will always be dirt. But as it is written in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, instantly, not much later, instantly, the spirit, the intellect of the soul, being the soul, returns to the Father that gave it. There are some people that are just too good for this world, I feel, and God brings them home. He's putting an army together there. So know that she's happy and you're blessed, all right? I know you miss her, and that's one of the tough things about it. But be happy for her in that respect. Marion from Oklahoma. I have been taught by some to pray for people with specific needs and then others who just say, just pray that God bless someone because you don't know what someone really needs. To pray specifically is a form of judging. Could you please let me know what God thinks about this? Well, if you know, our Father knows and understands. He has a lot of wisdom, and He knows what your mind is saying and thinking. Don't let someone else put thoughts into your mind when your mind knows how you feel about something. If you feel like praying for someone, it's called intercessory prayer. And there's certainly nothing wrong with it. God highly approves of it. But don't let someone tell you that you're judging people. You know, that would be letting Satan kind of steal your blessings there. I would hate to think that I had to stop prayer for anything that it might be called judging and allow Satan to stop me, because God knows I would never judge someone. So be that as it may, okay? You feel like praying for somebody, you pray for them. Leah from Maryland. Pastor Murray, I'm 15 years old. I would like to know if I have to memorize the Song of Moses or will the Holy Spirit give it to me when the time comes? This question has been on my heart for a long time. Well, don't let it trouble you, dear, all right? Thank you for studying God's Word and staying in the Word. As long as you understand the Song of Moses is the song that will be sung by those who have overcome the mark of the beast. But remember this, and it might help you somewhat. As it is written in Mark 13, you're not to premeditate what you will say, but the Holy Spirit will speak through you. So as long as you know and understand what the Song of Moses, that is written in Deuteronomy 32, the meaning of it, you're in good shape. You don't have to memorize it, okay? A lot of people do, but it's not necessary. God takes care of His own, and He knows your heart. Thank you for studying God's Word. Eugene from Texas. What is Jesus Christ going to look like when He comes back? Well, like Himself, okay? He is our Father created him. And as Jesus would say, your answer lies in St. John chapter 14. Christ would say, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So when you see the Father, when you see Christ, you will have seen the Father. Why? Because he's Emmanuel, God with us. Because of the events, this is how you tell time. This is how you know which trump, which seal, and so forth, is because of events. That's why you must always study God's Word so that you know which events apply to which seal or trump. And you know what happens in the seventh trump, the seventh seal, Christ returns. Those events identify him. He is God with us. You won't have any trouble. Brenda from Washington. Pastor Murray, I love your program. Could you please explain Revelation chapter 3, verse 16? Father likes people that will make a stand. Okay? And what he says there, I would rather you were hot or cold. Because if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Okay? Meaning, he doesn't like people that will just go along with whatever happens. It's all right. I'm not going to be troubled with it. He wants you to either, you know, even if you make a stand and you're in error, at least you've tried. And God takes that and considers that, and that's good. Okay. But with experience and understanding God's Word, soon you're going to be right. But by lukewarm, he means somebody that won't stand for anything. If you won't stand for anything, then you're in a heap of hurt, okay? You have no principles then, and you're just trying to get by. That won't cut it with our Father. Candace from Arkansas, what does number two mean? It means witness, for one thing. You have to have a second witness, but that's the way God operates. But basically it means a union, like we have the Father and the Son. And it can also mean separation or division. If you got two, they might divide. So it has more meanings than one. Sybil from Tennessee. Pastor Murray, I have a daughter that is deaf. Some people told me to bring her to a place and let people lay hands on her so she could be healed. I asked them, what would they think if God didn't heal her? What would that mean? Someone in the crowd didn't believe. Pastor Murray, tell me what the Bible says about laying hands on and praying. Read James chapter 5, verse 14. Okay? But what you always want to do, Sybil, is pray, if it be your will, Father. Okay? Don't leave it up to man's judgment, your judgment, or any other man's judgment. Always pray that the healing be done if it is God's will. Because God has a plan. And sometimes he uses people. And sometimes people that are handicapped and have problems, they are some of the best witnesses in the world. Because there are a lot of people that hang out there lukewarm, like we were just discussing. And when a person such as your daughter comes along, full of faith, and yet at the same time is deaf, then that impresses them. So let God's will be done. Okay, love God enough to let God have his way. If he wants her healed, so be it. Again, John 5:14, it will help you. But always, in any prayer you make, according to God's will, that does not show weakness. It shows love to Almighty God that you accept his decision. Michael from Georgia, how do you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit? There is only one time that this can that is referred to. It is best stated in Luke chapter 12, verse 10. It is when one of God's elect are delivered up before the synagogue of Satan. For he has just said, you can say anything you want against Christ as he walked in the flesh on the earth. Son of Man, meaning in man in flesh. But if you disallow the Holy Spirit when you're delivered up before the synagogue, that is unpardonable. I do not believe that will happen. I certainly do not, because I know God's elect pretty well, and I know if they have any problem at all, it'll be talking too much instead of zipping it and not premeditating and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak. Linda from South Carolina. Does Christ return to the Mount of Olives or Mount Zion? We love you, Pastor, and love your programs. Well, thank you. It's good having you with us. He definitely returns to the Mount of Olives. You can document that in Acts chapter 1, and you can also document it in Zechariah chapter 14. Okay, that's both the Old and the New Testament. And when his feet he left from the Mount of Olives, he will return there. But he will part away over the Kedron Valley, and right through the East Gate, and prepare a way. Teresa from Virginia, thank you for, well, we return that love. My question is, my son is a Marine. What if in the course of his duty he is called to fight against Israel? I hope that never happens. Please advise what to do in this case. You would be wasting your time worrying about it. It would never happen, okay? Absolutely would never happen. Tell your son for me, simplify, okay? This old sergeant just sends his regards. But at the same time, give him a home assignment from me of studying Psalms chapter 144 and memorize the first verse, Psalms 144. Okay, it's praying that God teaches you how to fight, okay, and that He's with you as a warrior for this nation. Joy from Arkansas. It might be Jay. Is there any scripture that says the Holy Spirit will not dwell in an unclean temple? That's just common sense, okay, number one. And God naturally will not dwell in an unclean temple. He would cleanse it first, okay. Now, that has to do even with bodies. A lot of people ask this question in a little different way. They say, can a Christian be possessed? The answer is no. As long as you have Christ in you, you cannot be possessed, because you're going to take charge and you're going to order that is evil away from you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They run from you. But naturally, many times, Christ always cleansed. I would say I'm trying to think of the chapter and verse. I'm going to say Mark 2, I believe it is, where Christ went into the temple. He platted out him a cat of nine tails, and he drove out the money changers. He loosed the filthy, mite-infested doves and threw him out of the house of God. Okay. So, just common sense. Victor from California, please explain Matthew 16:4. A lot of people maybe get confused because Jesus asked the question of the disciples, who do men say that I am? And they said, well, some say you are this, and some say you're Elijah, and some say something else. But a lot of people say, well, even the disciples didn't know who he was. No, you miss the whole point if you think that. You got to pay attention to what you read. He asked, what of the disciples? What do men say? Who do men say that I am? Okay. He didn't say, what do you disciples say I am? Because Peter immediately came forth and said, you are the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then Jesus would say, Barjuna, you have said this through the Holy Spirit, meaning God himself. He called him the Son of the Dove. That's always the presence of the Holy Spirit They knew who he was. Bill from Texas. Did Adam have a wife named Lilith? I don't think so, but who was Lilith? This is a real sad thing, and it seems to be growing. But it's mythology. Scholars who know that there was a six-day creation bring in this mythology to kind of cover their tracks rather than just teaching the truth. Many of the so-called scholars, I said so-called, some of them have written me saying, you need to stop teaching the six-day creation. We know it's true, but they're going to label you as a racist. Well, if God created all the races on the sixth day, which he did, then the very last verse of the chapter says, and he looked and it was good. So God is proud of all the races. How could that possibly? The truth always is very acceptable. And to lie about it is confusion. That's babble. So Lilith is, in mythology, is a sexual goddess. Okay. And they try to say that they weave this in. And then they have the way of saying, well, then we know who Cain took for a wife in the land of Nod. You know, well, you can't throw mythology out and stick with the Word of God. The Hebrew makes it very clear. Eve was the only wife Adam ever had. Okay. Period. Lilith is mythology and a thing of people's imagination. Stacy from Oklahoma. In the millennium, how will we feed our animals and pets? Well, you need to read Isaiah chapter 11. They kind of take care of themselves. There are no carnivores. Okay. And God takes care of that. There's plenty of everything for everyone. All right. And there will be no, when I say carnivores, I mean there will be no meat eaters in heaven. And a child can even play with a snake, okay? Harmless, okay? All that offends is taken away. David from Michigan, how do we know if we are part of the tribes? Well, it really doesn't matter as long as you love the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you pray about it and he leads you, if you are part of those tribes that were taken over the Caucasus, Caucasian, then you're kind of headed in the right direction, okay? I like to think that most know that the false Christ comes first. Then you're not only one of the tribes, but you're probably part of God's election. Not making you any better than anyone else, but at least knowing you were chosen before the foundations of this earth age. Lillian from Wisconsin. I heard you say that animals go to heaven. I've always known that animals don't have a soul, so they can't go to heaven. How can you teach an animal about God? I was disappointed in Pastor Murray when I heard him say that. Well, bless your little heart, okay? Haven't you ever read God's Word? I just quoted it from Isaiah chapter 11. The animals are there. You wouldn't really, Lillian from Wisconsin, want to call God a liar, would you? God loves animals. He created animals. Why? Because he loves them very much. Now, you do yourself a favor before you start judging me. You want to read God's Word and kind of be a little cautious, okay? Always prove yourself in the Word of God, okay? I could give you a little lesson in Hebrew about the first animal. It is written that they had a soul. But I won't do that, okay? It's in the first chapter of Genesis. Many of your little standard King James versions, when the word life is utilized, it's translated soul, nephesh in the Hebrew. Be that as it may, be happy. Keith from Nebraska. What are the first five seals? Where in the Bible can I find scripture on this? Well, Revelation chapter 6. It'll give you all of the seals, and basically. And the fifth seal is a time of teaching. You can read of it coming to pass, quite frankly, in Revelation chapter 9, okay? And so it is. Karen from Iowa. Greetings from Iowa. I have a question. Are we as Christians to admonish those calling themselves Christians but who teach hate in anything otherwise contrary to the Word, or is that the sole duty of God alone? There are so many in pulpits something teaching hatred today, teaching hatred and ripping people off, that it saddens me. Please advise me on this. God's business in God's hands, okay? You don't have to worry about it. God's judgment begins at the pulpit, okay? God will take care of it. You don't have to worry about it. You just keep stuff in line. I'm out of time. Hey, you know what? I love you all because you enjoy studying our Father's Word, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. But most important, God loves you for it. It makes His day. And when you make His day in studying this letter He sent you, He's going to make yours. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, bless God, He will always bless you. But you know what's most important? Don't ever forget it. You listen carefully. Most important, stay in His Word. Every day in His Word is a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, He is the living Word. Hearing.